This morning's reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need long before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Brian and Anne. Well, it is a delight to be here with you all this morning. As Jackie's already introduced me, my name's Chris. I'm one of the leaders here at Christchurch. And just a couple of things to mention. If you've noticed that we jumped the creed, that was intentional. At the end of a baptism, we invite all who are gathered, if you would like to reaffirm your own baptismal vows, and that will be our creed for today. Another thing we like to do when someone is baptized is to encourage them. And we like to do that in very specific form. So I have a lot of small pieces of card and some pens. I was going to put these out under the chairs, and I thought I didn't know how many people would be here. But look, we have a church full of people, which is wonderful. So a few people will go down the rows, hand these out. I'm looking around. I can see people standing up already, ready to do this. Thank you so much. If you would like to, there's more cards down the front. There, wonderful. If you would like to write some words of encouragement, a prayer, a scripture reading, something you just feel you'd like to share with Billy on this occasion of his baptism, for him to read later and to remember, then I just encourage you to write on one of these cards, and I will put this jar on the table at the back, and so as you are heading over to refreshments, you can drop your card in there. Right, that is all the formalities. Whilst those cards go around, Billy and I will get set up here. Just wait a moment while those cards go around. Perhaps just a little bit of preamble. So, Billy, we've been meeting for about, getting on for 6 years, nearly, 5.5 years.
Yes.
I have to tell you that when we sit down to have a conversation, which is rather infrequent at the moment, it would be lovely if it could be a bit more frequent, we typically more than 2 hours, I would think.
I keep you so, longer.
So we're at 11:23 now, so I reckon by 1:30, do you think we might? Abjay, we'll be about 15 minutes.
I think this is just the same continuation. We should be in my dining room. I'm trying to imagine it being like that.
So, yeah, we're just trying to imagine sitting across the table in the dining room. You might need to hold your microphone just a little bit closer.
Is it working? Oh, yes, it is.
There we go. That's so the people on the live stream can hear us. A few months back, Billy sent me an email, and it just said, very short, it just said something like, we need to meet, I've got something to tell you. And that is what we're going to explore now. You had a particular moment in your house, you were on your own. Why don't you share some of that with us?
Well, it was one evening several months ago, and I was just heating up my dinner. Rebecca was away, so it was a very basic, by her standards, thing. But I was thinking about something that happened earlier in the day, and it was a thing that I'd done that was something, you know, sometimes something happens and it's like a clear example, like a shining example of something. And this was something which, by its nature, I couldn't really fully prepare for, but I'd done everything I could to prepare. But it was so clear by this type of thing that it wasn't sufficient, and it would only work with God making more from my preparation than I could. So it was a clear example of that. And I was thinking about it and sort of marveling over how God had made more from it. And but it wasn't the first time I'd been aware of things like this, but I was just thinking about this. But then I thought, I should be grateful for this, you know, not just enjoy the marvelous nature of it. I should be grateful for it. And I thought, but of course I am, because it didn't happen by my own strength. So of course I have to be grateful. But then I had another thought that was a new thing, which was that this was a kind of assumed sort of gratitude, because you say, of course, you know, how could I claim that it was by my strength, so of course I'd be grateful. But that's just an assumed thing, and I felt it's wrong to just say it like that. I have to do something more to show my gratitude. I didn't know what it would be, but I had this new thought, and I just switched on my oven, and I was wandering about a bit in my house, feeling like this, like I have to do something. Shall I continue?
Well, so we've got all these thoughts going around in your head. Somewhere they're thoughts around the presence of God and your own relationship to Him.
It felt wrong just to... I knew I needed to do something, but I didn't mm-hmm. know what it would be.
And so you're there thinking, I need to do something. What then starts happening for you in your house in that moment?
I knew I wanted to say thank you somehow, but I wasn't sure what it would be. But then I reached a certain place in my flat, which is sort of around by my bookcase, you know, near the table where we sit. There's a sort of archway, and I was there. And I felt like the chance had come at this point. So I felt at that point I sort of knew what I should do. And I thought I would just say thank you for this one event. And but at this point, I think I remember thinking, oh, I can't do anything now because I'm standing up. It just is impossible for some reason. It was strange. And also, I had my glasses on. I've got a contact lens in at the moment. Sometimes I wear some big glasses. I had them. And I thought, I can't have them either. So I put them down on the bookcase. And I knew I had to kneel. It was very interesting because it was just impossible to do it standing, and impossible to take anything down with me, you know. And I felt, and I put the glasses there. I also set aside a lot of myself or a lot of physical things, you know, just set it aside and went down to kneeling. But the thing was, once I was kneeling, the act of that, I was going down to say thank you for this one thing, that was like a feeling of opening myself to saying thank you for this in a much more substantial way than the assumed way. But once I'd done that, when I was kneeling, the opening went beyond that. I couldn't stop it because I realized that it's not just this one event. It generalized to my whole life, you see, because everything is like this. You know, everything I had is the same as this event, because my little efforts, you give your efforts, but God makes that greater than the sum of our efforts. And everything I had of any worth in my whole life was the same as this, was because of this, and was that I had to be grateful for that. For that, my life was founded. Everything I had was founded on this same thing. So it generalized, and it was very overwhelming. I was very overcome by this. When I was kneeling, I thought I was going to say something for this one event. But when this happened, I didn't have... my mind didn't really work the same. I couldn't form words properly. I was overcome. Couldn't really think of what words I would say.
Let me just pause. So I imagine a picture is forming in your mind. There's an encounter happening here between Billy and the living God, who says by his Spirit, we will encounter him. And you, as we read so often in the Bible, when people come close to God, they adopt a posture that is more reverent, kneeling in your case. Sometimes you read of people lying flat on the floor, other times standing, perhaps with arms outstretched. But there is a connection. And then you're saying you went into that moment thinking it would be quite small, and it becomes just this huge encounter.
I don't think I would have been gone if I'd known before it would be like when I knelt, what would happen, because it was more manageable to think of it for being for one thing. Mm-hmm. And I opened that amount, but then once I'd done that enough, then it came in like a flood, you know. I couldn't stop the opening happening more. So
you're kneeling on the floor, enough. Your lunch is in the oven.
I've forgotten about that at this point.
And you're aware of God in some way. And what then happens?
Well, I just was aware that my mind wasn't really working as it normally does. You know, I couldn't formulate words and say anything. But the thing was, words just came to me and were sort of almost drawn out of me. You know, I didn't need to prepare the words, and they were very simple words, and just the perfect words just came. It was a very unusual way to speak, but I said the words. I said thank you. I said it twice. It seemed to have come twice. Thank you, thank you. I said, I'm sorry for all my sins. I said, I love you. And I said, please, God, take me to be yours. And I was overcome. I was crying, and I was just there on the ground for a long time. I couldn't stand. And eventually I managed to stand up, and I saw the clock, and it was a while later, because I sort of knew what time my thing was supposed to be cooked. So it was at least 20 minutes that I couldn't stand up, and I managed to get to the oven and save it just about. But after that, I couldn't really do anything at all. I just wandered about for I was useless for about 40 minutes. Everything got cold, but I was really overwhelmed by it.
We can see even now your emotion as you share that moment. We're really thankful that you're willing to be in this way very vulnerable with us and say, take us into that moment.
I'm glad I was able to actually say it, because it's not very easy to say.
And such courageous words to express before the living God. What, since that time, so we met in here, and you were sharing about that. How has life been different?
Well, I want to say one thing, which is that I think it's very interesting because, in one sense, I haven't changed at all as a person. I'm completely the same person. But the interesting thing is that it's like things are shown in a new light. So you're the same person, but it's shown in a new light. So in another sense, everything changes because you see yourself and things more differently. So I think it's interesting how these two contradictory expressions, and my expression for it, I cannot express it. This shows you cannot, because the form of it is wrong. But in one way, everything is the same. But in another, everything changes. But I have one example that you might want to know about. I remember thinking afterwards that quite a long time ago, maybe at least a year ago, I felt strangely sort of trapped in life. And it was strange because it was also quite a comfortable feeling as well. Because we met for years and we discussed a lot of things, and for years before that, you know, over the years, I've kind of resolved a lot of questions and felt comfortable like that. But I thought, strange, why can't I just be comfortable and this is good? But it didn't. I felt sort of trapped. And then about a year ago, I had this idea that it was a bit like I'd been searching. Now this sounds like a bit of a silly image, but this is what I thought of. I thought this is perfect. When I had the idea, I thought it was perfect. Then afterwards, I thought it was probably a bit silly later on, but at the point, I thought it was good. I felt it's just like I've been searching for a long time, and then I found a river, and when I found this, it was clear to me that this is what I've been looking for. This is all this searching, and this is what I'm looking for. So I sat on the edge, and it was great because it was comfortable, and I found it, and it looked very placid and everything. And over the other side was a beautiful, sort of misty bank on the other side, and it was satisfying and nice that I had found it, and I was sitting on the bank and comfortable. But then, the reason this helped describe my feeling is because then the problem is I realized I'm stuck here because there's no point in going back to the old life when I was looking for this, because you could go back into the land before, but it wouldn't be any point because you know you've found it now, so you'd just be wandering around pointlessly. So that was out of bounds. So you're stuck on the bank. So what will you do? It's pleasant, but you're trapped there. And there's obviously you could try crossing the river, but in this image I had, I felt it's like when I thought about that, I looked at the water and suddenly I noticed how rough and fast moving it was, and it became a darker sort of thing and impossible to jump in there. That's impossible. So I was trapped on the bank, and I thought this was a this described it perfectly, but then I thought, oh, this is just dramatizing my situation too much and it's silly, so I dismissed it again. But after this, what happened to me a few months ago, I felt it isn't that silly. It does contain a lot of the experience, because I think it helps with to explain this the ceremony and the thing before, because I think there's two components to crossing the river. There's the jumping in on the one side, and then you have to cross, and then you have to get out on the other side. And both of these are necessary. And it's like this, because the private thing that happened to me was a bit like slipping off into the river, because when I went knelt down and I was overtaken and I divested myself of a lot of things, it was a bit like that. And you know, here, this public side of it could correspond to the getting out on the other side part, because both are necessary, and here, same, both are necessary, because I couldn't just have that private experience and then not tell anyone about it and just remain in the water and everything. It wouldn't work. But I couldn't just come here and go through some formal thing without having the foundation of the private side. So I felt it is not so silly.
Not at all. I think it's the most wonderful way of expressing what's happened, and so fitting that happens. That, in a sense, is your meeting with Jesus. You know, when Jesus meets the disciples, as we read about in Scripture, he says, come, follow me. And a decision, they are left with a decision. They're not forced to follow him. And so the invitation is there, and that's like the jumping in the river. And that moment in your house, when you're expressing your thanks.
It was like a chance opened up at that point. When I reached that point in my house, I felt the feeling like this is the spot. You know, this could happen now.
And so here, beyond that moment of saying to Jesus, here's my life, you have it, it's yours. Mm-hmm. We share publicly in this symbol to remind everyone what Jesus has done for you, that cleansing, that washing away of sin, that invitation of you to him to be in close relationship, and the promise of walking for eternity with him.
I also reminded me, it's similar to a wedding, isn't it? Because that also has the private, the establishing of the love between two people. And then the formal thing, there's a unique thing of the private thing. And the formal thing is a set vow, set thing. But at a wedding, they have speeches to try to tell about the private one. And it helped make sense of baptism, which was quite a mystery to me before as well, because I thought, you know, this, we can't make things happen at a certain time by certain words and force something to happen here, because God doesn't obey our timings and things. But then I thought, it's the same as a wedding, because you wouldn't want to not have your ceremony as well, and it helped make sense of this.
Wonderful. Those are both very good analogies. I remember one of our earliest talks was around baptism and whether it was necessary, and here we are. And you're right, it is a mystery, and we've had the privilege of hearing, of being taken into a little bit of your own, the private encounter with Jesus, and here we are celebrating the public encounter. I feel like we should now head into the baptism, unless there's any sort of final things you'd like to share with people.
Just that also, when we were speaking and when I had this thought about the river and things like that, they are also sort of signs of the future. It's strange, isn't it? You know, we've been speaking about this for years, and almost as though it's leading to this point, but God's timing is, we had to wait for this, but anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. God's timing is...
It's amazing how the future can be kind of contained in things that happen to you, like signs of the future. I find that strange.
Strange. Another mystery.
But yes.